A Free Trip to Hell, July 2014. Do you have your ticket to hell? If you have not believed the gospel of your salvation, then you have a ticket for a free trip to hell. In Ephesians 1 verse 13, Paul says, "In whom ye have you, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That was Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Do you want to change your destination? I did not hear you. Oh, I heard some of you say, "Wait, I want to change my destination, but where can I go?" God is glad to offer you a free trip to heaven. You heard me right, free. All you have to do to exchange your ticket from hell to heaven is to believe the gospel for today. And what is the gospel? For that gospel, for today. Paul simplified it for us in two verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Verse 4. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The how of 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. Paul presumes that you know the how of 1 Corinthians 15. To know the how that Christ died, you simply have to read the account of the crucifixion in the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There you will find the details of the life of Christ if you read the four books, the four books, and the description of many things that Jesus of Nazareth suffered for all humanity. This same Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Some people do not believe in hell. Some people do not believe in the lake of fire. We're not going to all be saved. It's not going to happen. Hell and the lake of fire are not the same place. If you end up in hell, you will find yourself in the lake of fire after the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is found in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Hell will be removed and dumped into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So don't tell me these things don't exist, or that everyone will be saved, universal salvation. That doesn't also work. The first mention of hell is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. There are many verses in chapter 32 for this, but it's a big, big warning from God. So in order for me to get to verse 22, I have to use this book, King James, Holy Bible, King James. So I'm going to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now there's a lot of verse to cover, and I didn't really want to read the whole thing, but I should be starting at verse 5 and go all the way to down to verse 22. What I'm going to do is just take some of the verses. I didn't plan any verses. I'm just going to go through it. As you know, this is one huge warning from God that says, if you don't like me, if you go against me, this is where you're going to end. At first there he talks about the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and then he says, "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They have a perverse and crooked, they are a perverse and crooked generation." going down here. See what I can find. You know, you need to read the whole thing to understand, but I want to stress the things that God hates. Yeah, they provoke him to jealousy. That's the Lord. You know, it's called the rock in this section, which is the rock is always a representation of Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, they probably did not know that the rock was Jesus Christ, and the difference between God and Jesus Christ was not all that clear to them. Anyway, it says, verse Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 16, they provoke him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Sounds like new Bibles today. King James. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and had forgotten God that formed thee. God is a creator. And this rock, see again here, it says that Jesus Christ is the creator. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the working, the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see that their end shall be, for they are very froward or perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy, with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger. And this is the verse I'm looking for. Verse 22, Deuteronomy 32, verse 22. For a voice is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn in unto the lower hell, the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. This is the first time the word hell is used in the Bible, and God is really not happy with humanity, so all these people who are worshiping gods and do evil and stuff like that. You understand that point. So there are other places that the words are used. For example, several Bibles translations use words like Sheol, Hades, and the grave instead of correctly saying hell as it is in the King James Bible. I'm sorry, but even I can tell the difference between the grave and the hell. And hell. Tartarus. This is another one that came up as I was studying this. A definition of Tartarus is a section of Hades. And we're back to definitions again. Hades is hell. It depends what Greek or Hebrew text you use, okay? But I'm just going to use this definition for now. The definition of Tartarus is a section of Hades reserved for punishment of the wicked or evildoers. The word Tartarus is not found in the King James Bible. It seems to correspond to the side of hell where the rich man was in Luke chapter 16. Many call that side of hell torments, and the other side of where Lazarus is, Abraham's bosom. Luke 16, verse 19, 20, I'm going to skip 21, 22, 23. So Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, and these are the words of Christ himself. So if he says something, you better believe it. There was a certain man, rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Skipping verse 21. So Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing it Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And if you remember, it says there was a big gulf between the two of them. Okay, I didn't think of writing this in here. But remember, if you just go back to Luke 7:16, and you'll see that there was a big gulf, and say, we from here cannot go there, and you from here, there, where you are, you cannot come here. So, let's go on. The Lord talked about hell several times. Example, Matthew 5:29-30. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. The Lord's serious about these things. Verse 30, and if thy right hand offend thee, the verse 29 was thy right eye, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of your members, of thy members, should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now I'm going to cover a really big warning from the Lord. Note that what I'm saying, that all the words of the Lord, that not all the words of the Lord apply directly to us in the dispensation of grace. Some of these verses apply only to Israel. Others apply to all people of all times. So you have to think about what is said and who is said. But my purpose here is to cover the word hell that the Lord used many, many times. He talked about hell many times, warning people, follow me or you're going to end up there. In our case, we follow the Apostle Paul, who got his revelation from the Lord. Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that would be, the last one there would be God. In Matthew 23:33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? See, again another warning. Now the fire will never stop. In Mark 9:43, and I'm also going to use Mark 9:45. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, never, never gonna stop. Mark 9:45. And if thy foot offend thee, this is the repeat of what Matthew said, but it has something about the fire never stopping. So if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter out into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Hell will never run out of fuel. God has an infinite amount of fire and fuel, however you want to say it, and hell, which is at that time, will be the lake of fire, and that will never, never stop. Three times the Lord said in Mark, there's an example here, Mark 9:48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. How many times do you need to hear this to believe it? The Lord made a reference of his condition on the cross. We read in Psalm 22:6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. That was tough for him to be on the cross and say something like this. And we see this reference to worm in the Old Testament a few times. And that is seems to be the physical appearance of a person who dies and goes into the lake of fire. Rough stuff. I hope you're getting the point here. Trying to get some of you to change your ticket. In Isaiah, it is clear that they will never die in hell and that the fire will never end. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. We understand these principles. So when you're born, you're labeled by God as an unbeliever. Now, I'm not going to go into this thing, okay, what about babies? Of course, if you now have no way of understanding right from wrong, hell from heaven, God deals correctly always with every single person. But who will understand my words, who have been neglecting Christianity, understand that this is a severe warning that God has in here, where he says, if you don't believe me, now that you can understand me and you have heard this thing about Christ, you now have a ticket to hell. If you do not change and believe me, the God, Lord says, then you will remain in that condition. And all you have to do to go to heaven and just exchange your ticket that says go, you're going to hell for one that says you're going to heaven, all you have to do is believe what Christ has done for you on the cross. And it's that simple. And that is the message I want to leave with you, is that do not wait. Today is your day of salvation. Don't wait, because you don't know, you could have an accident. You could have something can happen to you. You may not ever believe. I know it for myself. It took me a long time to get to this point. And a lot of people do that. But I do encourage everyone to be saved and to be saved right now today. And how do you do that? You only have to believe what Christ done for you on the cross. Believe that he was buried. And believe that he was raised for your justification. It's simple. That's it. Have a good day.